Welcome to Greystone Baptist Church and our online worship service on this second Sunday of Advent. With all that's been going on this past year, I'm sure that many of us are especially ready for the holidays. I know that our house, we started decorating for Christmas a bit earlier than usual. And perhaps we all want to fast forward to a better year in 2021, having dealt with the coronavirus and a very difficult 2020. But for now, let's take a break from the holiday rush, from our cares, anxieties, and the uncertainty of these days, and join together in this Advent service of worship, music, prayer, and communion as we prepare ourselves for the promises that God will reveal to us. And we welcome all. So no matter who you are, where you come from, what you do for a living, or what your faith journey has been up to this point, please know that there is a place reserved for you with us today. May we pray. O loving God, we thank you for your mercy and grace and for the opportunity to come together despite our isolation from each other in this hour. Help us to put aside the noise, clamor, and distractions of this troubled world and enter a place of quiet and rest to listen attentively to your Spirit. And as we are aware of the pain and suffering in our midst and in the world around us, we pray that you will lift us out of this present darkness. For now, let us also wait patiently for the celebration of Christmas that is to come. For we long for healing, peace, and reconciliation, and dream of a better day. May we now take refuge in your holy presence, and may the light of your Holy Spirit begin to make things clear. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
If there was ever a time we longed for Christ, the Prince of Peace, the time is now. This year we have seen the desperate need for peace in our world, in our country, in our community, and even in our own circles with friends and family. All of the violence, anger, and hatred that we have heard and seen this year reminds us that we are indeed a people who wait for peace.
The prophet Isaiah speaks, "For a child has been born unto us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace."
Even though we walk in the darkness, we actively await the coming Christ, who will establish true peace, upheld with justice and righteousness.
Even though we wait in the darkness, we will work for peace within ourselves and throughout our world.
So today we light the candle of peace in confidence that the darkness of violence, division, and hatred will not overcome. This light is our ever-present reminder that even in our darkest night, we believe that Christ will come again.
Come, Prince of Peace, come. Your people are waiting.
Christmas to get here, and we're getting our minds and our hearts ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus. I got my Christmas tree up a few days ago. There's no ornaments yet, but they're coming. At church, we have a special tree called a Chrismon tree. You might remember it from other years. Chrismon means Christ's monogram, so all the ornaments on that tree remind us of Jesus' name, or they remind us about something really special about Jesus. Some of my friends, Mr. Jerry and Miss Patsy, have a Chrismon tree in their house that looks a lot like the ones that we usually have in our sanctuary at Greystone. I've invited them to tell you about a couple of the ornaments, a couple of the Chrismons on their tree. Let's listen.
Hello, boys and girls. Welcome to our home. Miss April asked me to show you our Chrismon tree. Well, the first question you might ask is, what is a Chrismon? A Chrismon is a picture or a symbol that reminds us of who Jesus is. Let me show you a few. This Chrismon reminds me of two things. It reminds me of the shepherds who were part of Jesus' birth, And it reminds me that Jesus is the Great Shepherd. I'm sure you will recognize this symbol. This is the manger. And there's where we find Jesus as a baby in the manger. This is an angel, and this reminds us that angels were present telling the shepherds about the birth of Jesus. This is a crown, and it reminds us that Jesus is our King. Well, thank you all for visiting, and happy Christmas.
Thank you so much for sharing with us about your very special Christmas tree. This week, I'm going to send you some instructions all about how you can make your very own Christmas to put on your tree at home. Tell Mom and Dad to check their email on Tuesday. I'll send some directions of some Christmas that you can make. You already have most of the supplies you need in your Advent kit that we sent you. If you will look in there, you'll find a Ziploc baggie with some popsicle sticks and coffee filters and a cupcake liner and all kinds of things. You'll need those things to make your Christmas. I can't wait to see what you create. And next Sunday during worship, when we are together for our children's time, we're going to put them on our trees together. I can't wait. See you then. Bye.
Cries out, and then another's children are taken from their mothers, and desert highways lead to smoke and tears. As leaders look away and fail us, encouraging violence, they try to derail us, they trample on our rights and prey on our fears. But hope, peace, and love are on their way. Great joy will come for all the angels. Sing, do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Rising up while you wait, letting love drive out hate. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Tearing down every wall, Christ brings freedom for all. Do not be afraid. As weapons speak before conversation, to force continued domination of others who don't think and look the same. The climate is changing and people deny it. The ones who feed the earth try to supply it, still leaving as our homes go up in flames. But hope, peace, and love are on their way. Great joy will come for all the angels. Do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Rising up while you wait, letting love drive out hate. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Tearing down every wall, Christ brings freedom for all. Do not be afraid.
Join me in prayer for the second Sunday of Advent, a Sunday of peace. Let's pray together. Lord of darkness and light, come to us this Sabbath day in the midst of a season of growing darkness, bringing the light of hope and peace to our lives. Keep our hearts and minds alert to your presence. In this season of Advent, prepare us to greet the one who will lift our burdens and change our lives forever. You have offered us a way through the darkness to your light, and be with us this day as we move through this season. Some of us are running with too much to do, too many stresses, too many tasks needing our attention. Some of us are staggering, overburdened, and sinking beneath a heavy load. Some of us are paralyzed and anchored in one place, unsure of the path ahead, not knowing how to orient our next steps. Shine your light on our path. Look with love and grace upon your people. Remind us again of the wonders that you have in store for us. Remind us of a peace that calls us, even in the midst of darkness, a true peace. A peace that begins in your very own heart. We are so often prisoners of our own best intentions. So we boldly pray this morning that you would break through the clutter and the darkness of our souls, shine your light on our very beings, calm our spirits as we lift our hearts to you. Holy God, there are so many names and situations crying out for your healing and comfort. Hear also the cries and whispers of our hearts. We bring our lives and our very selves for your care and mercy. Help us remember that you always care for us, that you have sent your very best, not in a greeting card or in a 2-day shipping package, but in the person of Jesus, a babe born in Bethlehem, your beloved Son. And you have sent this gift so that we might come out of our darkness and into the light of your kingdom. Heal and protect us, gracious Lord. Shine your light again on our lives that we may see the true spirit of this season. For it is in loving and noticing, it is through attention and care for ourselves and others that we too will make our way to Bethlehem. Be with us as we journey. For it is in that name, Emmanuel, that we pray. Amen.
The reading for today is from Matthew 1:18-24 and Luke 1:26-38. The birth of Jesus the Messiah. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife. Luke 1:26-38, the birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." but she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Wait and hurry. Hope and worry. Song and silence. Through the loss and pain we won't give in. Let the Christ be born within. Living in light and darkness, in you we keep our trust. We'll let our eyes adjust. Living in light and darkness, death will be overcome because your love lights our way, leading us on. You're leading us on.
When I was young, I used to have all kinds of dreams. Good dreams and bad dreams. Dreams that would stick around no matter how many times I awoke as their drama played out in my mind. And also dreams that would slip away as soon as I opened my eyes. I can remember a few particular scary dreams that used to haunt my sleep. The same monsters, the same plot lines, the same pattern of waking up just before the very worst thing happened. When those dreams visited me so frequently as a child, I would often get out of the bed and run down the hall seeking the comfort of my mother's arms in the middle of the night. Now, I don't remember who it was, but somebody, when I was a child, told me that I could be sure that those bad dreams would never become reality if I just spoke their story out loud. If I brought it out into the light, so to speak. That green monster that used to peer over the property line shrubs wouldn't be able to come and get me after all. The good dreams, however, the ones that I wanted to keep to myself, the ones that I actually wanted to become reality, I was supposed to keep those secret in order that they might come true. Just like it's bad luck to tell everybody what you wished for when you blew out your birthday candles, giving voice to those sweet dreams, as I was told, was a surefire way to make sure they would never come true. Looking back on it now, I wonder where that logic came from. The logic that taught us to keep our dreams close, secret even, while giving voice to the nightmares that startled us awake. It's so curious to me. So dreams play out in a really prominent role in our Bible. From Abraham to Jacob, Joseph to Pharaoh, Samuel to Solomon, throughout the Hebrew Bible, known to us as the Old Testament, God uses dreams and visions to communicate God's own will with humankind. It is through dreams, both the scary ones and the comforting ones, that God's desires for humanity are made known. It doesn't take long to read the New Testament to see that the theme is picked up there as well. Divine communication comes through dreams and visions. In the first chapters of Matthew, God's plan for the incarnation is communicated through a dream. When Joseph discovers that Mary was with child, he planned to divorce her secretly. He planned to do the honorable thing, to call off the engagement, to dismiss her quietly. In the ancient world, unfortunately, this was really the best that Mary could have hoped for. But Joseph's plans were interrupted by a dream. Just as soon as he'd made up his mind, the text says, an angel visited in a dream, saying, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for she will bear a son, and you're to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The text doesn't call it a dream per se, but the angel visits Mary in Luke's gospel and has a very similar message. Do not be afraid, that angel says, for you have found favor with God. The son that you carry in your womb, he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. He will sit on David's throne. And to his kingdom, there will be no end. One is called a dream and the other is called a vision, but both begin with those startling words, do not fear. I wonder if we could put ourselves in Joseph's shoes or maybe in Mary's shoes. I wonder if we could do that. Would we classify these as nightmares? Or would we classify them as sweet dreams? Would we keep them secret in hopes that they couldn't possibly come true? Or would we gladly go out and share the good news with everybody around us? Or might we run down the hall and seek comfort in the arms of our mother? With thousands of years of hindsight working in our favor, it might be easy for us to say that we would boldly go out and proclaim the good news of these sweetest dreams, these heavenly revelations. But the reality is that for Mary, this good news of an unwed, unplanned, and inexplicable pregnancy would have made her likely a candidate for some kind of ancient capital punishment. There was, in fact, much for her to be afraid of. If Mary and Joseph chose to awaken this dream, to bring this angelic visitation into the light of day where the whole town would soon see the visible signs of pregnancy, people would start to talk. Relationships would inevitably be broken because what Gabriel asked these young teenagers to do had never been done before. The birth of the Prince of Peace would not be so peaceful for those who were called to carry it to full term. Now, even though they, Mary and Joseph, might have been the first to welcome the idea of the incarnation in this specific way, they were not the first to receive God's dream. The prophet Isaiah foretold the dream of a peaceable kingdom. You may remember this, where the wolf could live with the lamb and the leopard could lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling could live together. And well, you know the rest, right? And a little child shall lead them. The vision of the prophet continues, they will not hurt or destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. That is Isaiah's glimpse of God's dream for a peaceable kingdom, a peaceful reality. The prophet Isaiah echoes a similar theme. I will not listen to the melody of your harps, Amos says, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. The same dream for a new world appears in both Isaiah and Amos, a dream in which the poor and the marginalized are not exploited because of their social and economic positions, where the foreigner and the exile are not locked up and locked out of community, where the earth itself is not seen as a commodity that exists only for human consumption, but where all people, no matter their age or their race or nationality or creed, are welcomed at God's banquet table, where the food and the drink never run dry. The Hebrew prophets painted this picture for us based on the dreams that they received from God. These dreams point us toward God's vision for our reality, but until we receive them ourselves and allow them to awaken our bodies to actually do God's work in the world, peace remains an object of our sweetest dreams, rather than a reality that we can create with and for God and with and for one another. Given the context, it makes sense to know that the angels began both visitations with the words, "Do not fear." Because if Mary and Joseph were familiar with the Hebrew Bible, as I suspect they were, they probably knew that they were about to receive a glimpse of God's dream. And if they were familiar with Scripture, as I suspect they were, they probably knew that those who receive a glimpse of God's dream are then asked to live with a whole lot of courage. It's one thing to dream of peace, you see. It's a whole other thing to awaken that dream and to work to make it reality. We dream of a world where peace is our reality, where lions and lambs and wolves and calves can lie down together. Perhaps where elephants and donkeys can share a family meal without dissolving into argument. Where socialists and capitalists can learn from one another. Where young and old can coexist without one being threatened by the other. Where the pain and the grief from our past doesn't sabotage the possibility of our future. And where grace abounds like a balm of healing over all that is broken to the point of violence and war and upheaval. This is perhaps our boldest and most holy dream. Bold because we desperately want it to awaken from our sleep and to become our reality. And holy because it looks just like the revelation of God's dream spoken to us through the prophets of Israel and then brought to life in the form of Jesus of Nazareth. This is our boldest and most holy dream. We dream of peace. I just wonder if we dare to wake that dream up. In today's gospel readings, both Mary and Joseph face the same challenge of courage. God's dream for the world given to them in visions of angels could have stayed locked in their minds if they'd only said no. But luckily, they didn't say no. They found within themselves the courage to say yes and to do as God was calling them to do. "Here am I," Mary responded. "Let it be with me according to your word." And Joseph awoke, the gospel says, and he did exactly as the angel commanded him. They both said yes. Here on the second Sunday of Advent, Christians around the world are praying for and dreaming of peace. We are reading scriptures and lighting candles and singing songs that remind us that another name for Jesus, the child whom we await, is Prince of Peace. Our scriptures point to the reality of eternal and everlasting peace that God promises us will one day come. And so, yes, Just like we await the return of Christ, we also wait and hope and pray for that eternal peace. But on the second Sunday of Advent, in the year 2020, we cannot be content to let God's dream for peace stop there. Lighting our candles, reading our scripture, singing our songs, waiting, hoping, and yes, even praying requires so little of us that this cannot be the sum of what God requires of God's beloved dreamers. If we are like the prophets of old, and like Mary and Joseph, and like the original disciples, and like Jesus himself, if we have received a glimpse of God's dream, the one that promises peace, then is it also not our duty to awaken our little piece of that dream? To move it from the darkness of night, from our solitary imaginations, and to bring it out into the broad daylight of our daily and public lives? Is it not our responsibility, our calling perhaps, to say, just like Mary said, "Here am I, Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Is God asking us to awaken that dream today? Now, our yes doesn't have to be a grand gesture or a big initiative. In fact, I believe that the most of our opportunities to awaken the dream, they come in small little glimpses that to our human eyes often seem like ordinary occurrences. Is there a bridge that needs to be built? Is there a relationship that needs mending? Is there a story that we are struggling to understand? Is there a longing deep within our hearts for relationships with those who are different from us? Is there a recognition that our tables look nothing like God's table? Is there an opportunity for us to share our resources with others who might be struggling? Or to take time to listen to somebody who might be hurting? Is there room in our hearts for compassion and understanding? Is there a no that needs to be transformed into a yes? Is there a dream given to you that needs the courage to wake up?
There must be lights burning brighter somewhere. Got to be birds flying higher in the sky, more blue. If I can dream of a better land, where all my siblings walk hand in hand, tell me why, oh why, oh why can't my dreams come true? Oh why? There must be peace and understanding sometime. Strong winds of promise that will blow away the doubt and the fear. If I can dream of a warmer sun where hope keeps shining on everyone, tell me why, oh why, oh why won't that sun appear?
Many of us dream of peace and await with anxious anticipation the day when Christ will return and usher in total peace for all people and for the whole world. Many of us also look around and wonder what in the world we could do to move us a little bit closer to that peace in this life, in this world. As Christians, our communion table gives us an opportunity to remember what Jesus taught us about how we can be agents of peace. Peace here in this world that looks a little bit more like the kingdom of God and the peace that will come with it. Each time we gather at our communion tables, we are reminded of Jesus and the life that he lived and the way that he insisted on peace in all situations. So each time we gather at this table, we have an opportunity to practice the skills that Jesus taught us and to remember that at every table that we find ourselves at has the possibility to be just like this communion table, where all are invited, where all are welcomed, where all are forgiven, where all can experience the loving grace of God, where all belong, and where all are fed. Sisters and brothers, our communion table is Christ's, and the invitation belongs to Christ alone. So all who are hungry, all who thirst to know Christ in their lives, they are welcome at this table. Let's pray together as we prepare to receive this holy meal. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the extravagant love that you have shown to us in the life of Christ. We give you thanks for meeting us as we are and for calling us your beloved children. We give you thanks for the spirit in which you call us forward and for meeting us in the many wildernesses of our lives at each and every table. Most of all, we give you thanks for the gift of this table and for the abundant grace that we encounter at it. Loving God, as we gather around our communion tables and prepare to receive this holy meal, remind us of the new life that you offer us in communion. And remind us that it is not limited to this time and place. Remind us that your gift is ours to share anywhere, everywhere, and with all people. Call us to go about our lives from this moment on, radiating your love and working for your peace, awakening your dream, and bringing your love, your breath of life to all who are in need this day. Amen. Sisters and brothers, on the night that Jesus was arrested, he found himself at a table, sharing a meal with his friends and his followers. And over the course of that meal, he took up the bread. And after giving thanks, he blessed it and he broke it, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat." And in the same way, also, he took the cup. And after giving thanks, he poured it out, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, the cup of life poured out for you. Take and drink." Each time we find ourselves at our different communion tables, but sharing the common meal, we are reminded of Jesus the Christ, who came and showed us how to live and how to die, that we might live again, agents of peace and love for God's kingdom. So as we receive this meal today, our prayer is that the food nourish our bodies and souls, but it also nourish our spirits so that we might step by step awaken God's dream for peace in this world. Go now and enjoy your communion tables together. And as you eat, as you drink, do so in remembrance of Jesus Christ.
In a cloud with too much rain, we're trapped in a world that's troubled with pain. But as long as we all have the strength to dream, we can redeem our souls and fly. Deep in my heart, there's a trembling question. Still, I am sure that the answer is gonna come somehow. Out there in the dark,
is a beckoning candle. Oh yeah. While I can think, while I can talk, while I can stand, while I can walk, while I can dream, please let my dream come true right now.
May the peace of Christ be with you. And now let us take a minute or two to see what's going on around Greystone. The Missions Committee has two critical collections that will make a difference in the lives of our neighbors. We're collecting masks for children as they head back into school. Masks may be left off in a collection box at the front of the church, just outside the main door. We're also creating Christmas food boxes. And our goal is to create boxes for 50 families. Please contact Joanne Thompson to sign up and get the list of items needed in each box. By now, everyone should have received an email containing information about our plans to celebrate and honor Amanda's ministry with us as our Associate Minister of Faith Formation. One way that we are honoring her in this time of transition is inviting you to join us for a drive-through reception next Sunday, December 13th, from 1 to 3 p.m. in the Sawmill parking lot. There will be a basket for cards and love offerings, so be sure to come prepared to offer words of encouragement and gifts of support. We are grateful for the many ways Amanda has shaped our ministries at Greystone, so let's join together in gratitude on December 13th. Our Living Nativity will take place on Wednesday, December 16th, with drive-in showings this year in the Lead Mine lot at 6:30 and 7 p.m., You and your families will be able to stay warm in your car and tune into 90.3 FM and enjoy the production. If you'd like to volunteer to assist with the presentation, please contact the church office. This tradition has been bringing much joy to Greystone and the local community during the Advent season for over 25 years. We hope to see you there. And families with youth and children, please watch your email for information about our Wandering Wise Man secret gift exchange.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's presence be always with you, giving you the grace to never sell yourself short, grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take your feet and walk with them. May God take your hands and heal through them. And may God take your heart and set it afire. Amen.